So this is day three of no sleep. My son, Max, who's 2.5, has been having some sleep problems. So right. Ryan and I, my husband, have been up, you know, taking care of him. Uh-huh. And for me, it takes a while to go back to sleep. So it's basically three nights of no sleep. Mm-hmm. And it kind of manifested itself in this funny story. The other day, we were at the grocery store and I decided to take Max because he's not in school. He's not doing activities. I wanted to get him out of the house. Yeah. So we go in the grocery store with our masks, and it's this like fancy little grocery store. And as soon as we walk in, Max touches the squash and they all go on the ground. They go everywhere. So I'm just red faced trying to put the squash back and realizing we have to get out of the store as quick as possible. Uh-huh. So by the time we leave the store with our few items, I'm so stressed out. I just want to get Max in his car seat, buckled in. I want to get home. So we do that and we drive in. And as soon as I drive in the driveway, my husband's standing there and I look at him and I'm like, I forgot the groceries.
And Chelsea, where are the groceries?
Like, that's what you went to go do. I don't understand. And I realized that in my stress of trying to get Max in his car seat, I left the bag of groceries on the sidewalk.
Awesome.
Like, yeah.
Awesome.
So we rushed back to the store and some saint had put them in the shade. So there was a chunk of change in those bags, though. So I was really stressed out. But I just realized I'm tired.
You're tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would just have to say, buckle up because you're going to be tired for a really long time.
Oh,
as the mom of a 21, 14, and 12-year-old, these are such fun stories to hear now, and it's going to continue. So I'm so excited for you, but I hear you, and I want to validate how you feel right now. I hear that you're tired. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today is ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
Just ceasing. Yeah. So we are excited. I'm Dana Black.
I'm Reverend Chelsea Simon.
And this is The Collective Table.
And at this table, there is no fear. You are not erased. At this table.
What do we want you to walk away with today after you finished watching the YouTube video or listening to the podcast? Our goal is that you have permission to find small micro moments to just stop, just cease, and connect with yourself and connect with the great creator. And I think you're going to see that today in the scripture and modeled in Jesus's behavior. And so with that, let's just dig in, jump right into the scripture. We're going to summarize it for you. Before that, I do want to say that if you have a Bible in front of you, or if you want to go to BibleGateway.com, you can do it now or later and check out the Gospel of Mark. That's what we're going to be summarizing for you today. Chapter 1, verses 21 through 39. Now, you may read words that we're not going to use today. That's okay. We've got you covered. If you go to our website at thecollectivetable.org, we have a resource section, and there's going to be information there for maybe words that you're not familiar with or you just want to just learn a little bit more about. So with that, let's get going.
Yeah, so like Dana said, it's the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, and Jesus is in the synagogue. He's doing some teaching. Mm-hmm. He goes to his friend Simon's house, and his mother-in-law has a headache, is not feeling so great, so of course Jesus heals her.
Absolutely.
And then by nightfall, there's a whole lineup of people at the door waiting to be healed. And then they waited till nightfall because it actually had been the Sabbath, and so everyone else was busy resting, and they had stopped working. But Jesus was there teaching and healing and being Jesus in public, which I'm sure was exhausting.
Doing what Jesus does.
Right, yeah. And so he spends the night, he's healing all these people. And then I'm going to read this part from scripture because I think it's really important.
Yeah.
But it says, in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is searching for you. He answered, let us go into the neighboring town so that I might proclaim the message there also, for this is what I came out to do. And off they went to go preach the message again. So Jesus had spent all day teaching and healing people. And if I was Jesus, I would want to sleep in. I'd want to like a full night's rest and sleep.
Don't set the alarm.
Sleep till noon.
Sleep.
But yeah, but Jesus gets up early morning to go and pray and get grounded before he goes out and does it all over again.
Absolutely. And that's what we're going to really talk about today, is this time where Jesus stops, where Jesus takes his Sabbath, which is means to cease, mm-hmm. To stop. And what does this offer to our audience today?
Yeah.
And for me, I read this and I'm like, okay, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. Then he's healing some people. Then he's going thinking he's going to get some food. He doesn't. He's got to heal more people. Then he's got to heal more people. Then he takes a short break before he gets back up and goes to work again.
Sounds like the life of a mom.
It sounds like my entire life all day long.
You just move from one thing to the next and exactly. And then when you finally think you get some time off, someone is frantically searching for you, hunting for you, actually, it says.
So I think this message is out there for everybody right now. It's so applicable to our lives, to everybody's life. Whether you have kids or you don't have kids and you've got a busy schedule with work, whether you, doesn't matter. All of us are doing, and oftentimes we just keep on doing.
Yeah.
We never just stop.
Yeah, we live in a grind culture. I mean,
absolutely.
It's grind, work. I think especially now in this COVID time, we feel like we constantly have to be on. We constantly have to be answering emails immediately as soon as we get them. We think it's okay to text people at 10 o'clock at night asking for things or 7 a.m.
Yes.
Know? I mean, it's constant grind. And we don't feel that there is time or space to actually put it down.
And there's actually a book that we always like to highlight, a book for our audience. The one that we're going to talk a little bit about today, or we might reference, is Soul Feast by Marjorie Thompson. I can find that resource on our website. And she has a diagram in there, and I love this. It's in the secular, we are working to get to our vacation, mm-hmm. to get to our rest. And in the sacred, could we flip that where we're in rest, we're ceasing in order to get to our work or our vocation? And what does that do if we flip those things? How are we better prepared for our work? How do we engage differently with the people that are around us if we start with the ceasing, the stopping?
Yeah, if we're able to ground ourselves, to thank God for all that we have, to really remember our priorities, what's important to us. To make space to hear the sacred, you know, what might come up for us that we wouldn't hear otherwise. Because you're right. I think like we have on our calendar the date circled for which we will finally be able to put it down. And until that date comes, we're in it. And it's not a healthy way to live. And our whole culture is based on that work.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how can we find these small micro moments? And I think I do have to give credit. Micro moment was a term that came up in one of my classes at Duke, and a cohort member of mine said that. But I love that idea of a micro moment, because we don't know how long Jesus was out in solitude. It could have been 5 or 10 minutes. We don't know. It wasn't a day.
Right.
It wasn't like he just took a whole day off. He took some period of time before he went to re-engage back in the work. So it is a micro moment.
Yeah. I mean, in the culture, Sabbath was a full day where people were able to put down their work and play and eat and drink and have, you know, parties and things like that. Jesus didn't, as we see, didn't really get that, but he knew how important that rest was. So he still went out and tried to find it in the early mornings. But I think what he was doing was he was being intentional and setting that time, knowing that he's Jesus and people are constantly going to be needing him and wanting him, that he had to make certain arrangements. And I think about being a mom, and it's like, you're never off, you know, as a parent, you know, you're just never off. And so it takes some intentionality to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And honestly, even with intentionality, it doesn't, because Jesus here, wasn't like he was done praying and went back to his friends. It was. And I think about, you know, I try to get up early in the morning and pray and meditate and read a devotion. And I see the fingers under the door or screaming from the next room. And I feel like Jesus, like when I read that, I'm like, Jesus knew what it was like to be a parent.
He was being hunted by his friends.
Which, like, I feel most mornings.
Right. Isn't that our kids? They're mom, like every 5 seconds.
Right.
And then sometimes I'm like, what do you need? Oh, I don't know. I just had to know where you were. Yeah. That's what his friends were doing. Jesus, where are you, Jesus? Where are you, Jesus?
Right. He totally knew. But even with that, you know, knowing he knows he's Jesus, he knows he's needed, that the work before him is vast and never done. But the intentionality of saying, but I'm going to still get up early and go and try to do this thing. Maybe it wasn't the full time he wanted, but he got some time.
And I think there's a couple of things that you said that just resonated with me. One is that He got up early. Again, it goes back to, I would have had no alarm. No. Maybe I've hit snooze a couple times. It was so important for him to get that time, which that says something. It means something. And it means that to me that it was really important. Like, it does something to your body. It does something to your mind. It does something as to prepare you for the next moment that you're going to go into, more so than maybe even resting at that. Not that I want to encourage people not to get sleep, because I love sleep, but it was really important.
And it was the rhythm of his life.
Yes.
You know, that you have this busy day and it is packed full. And I really believe that when Jesus was with people, he was present fully with them. Yeah. So that's exhausting. But the rhythm of his life was, I need the grounding. And I just always think, like, or when I'm reading this, I'm thinking, like, can I not make that the rhythm of my life? That it doesn't make the work go away or someone not need me, but it makes me better to do the work. It makes me a better mom, wife, pastor, friend, you know, whatever it is that you do in the world, it makes you better. It makes you better prepared for it.
And that's where the intentionality is important, but it's also critical not to judge yourself, because to your point, sometimes you're going to have the best intentions and it's not going to work, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You just pick it back up again the next day or whenever you have the option to schedule it into your moment, right? Or into your day.
Because I think people think, what does this Sabbath thing look like, right? You know,
I know I do.
I don't have a full day. Maybe I don't know about prayer right now. I think it can be anything. Just taking time. It can be going for a run, journaling, listening to music, just sitting and looking out into nature. I mean, it can be so many different things. It's whatever it is that grounds you, that gives you an opportunity to stop working, to put things down for a little bit.
Yes. And so I think we're going to offer some suggestions, but I love this quote from the book Soul Feast. And it says, unstructured time is an open spaced container for deeper reflection and new connections. And it goes back to, what is prayer? It's unstructured time. And it's just this, where you can have this open container to reflect. Maybe it's through a journaling process. Maybe it's just through some deep breathing. But I love the end of it, new connections, because that's what Jesus was going to do after this. He was going to make new connections.
Yeah. It sends you back out in the world ready for it, yeah. Or more ready for it. And Jesus models that so beautifully in this passage. And this is the start of his ministry, which I just think it's setting him up for the patterns that will go on for the next 3 years, yeah. And teaching us something about what it means to be fully present, fully human, fully alive in this time. You can't just grind, grind, grind. I mean, you have to find moments to put it down so that you can be better
prepared
thing.
For the next thing. And to engage with whatever you're going to come into contact with, right? So let's talk about meditation a little bit here. I think partly because it is something that we offer through the collective table, mm-hmm. our 5 and 10 minute meditations. And so it is a way, and meditation is a form of prayer.
Absolutely.
And there's a Netflix show that you recommended and I checked out. It's called Headspace. And so we'll give a shout out to Headspace. But I loved what it presented in the first episode, because it showed that there are physical benefits, and there's been research done on the benefits of meditation. And I would just say finding time to cease, to stop.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, drops your stress, drops your pain. It connects you to other people. So I think that there's benefits to this.
Yeah. Over the recent years, there's been many, research. There's a lot of research about it. It just changes your brain chemistry. I mean, it's really wild what meditation does for you. Even 5 or 10 minutes can make a big difference. And so meditation is absolutely a way that you can connect to something deeper, to connect to yourself more fully.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be, like we were saying, this full day thing. It can be in 5 and 10 minute increments.
Absolutely. And I think Jesus knew this, and that's why Jesus got up and went. Because Jesus is like, I know what's happening in my body. Like, I know what's happening in the brain. I am the creator, right? Here I
know this is good for humans. I created them.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. That's exactly right. I know this is good for humans. I created them. Okay. So as we come to the end, we do want to offer some things for people to think about, because we know this is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. Like, okay, great. Dana and Chelsea, you want us to intentionally take 5 or 10. I get it. We totally get it. We're both moms. We're both wives. We're both working, we're going to school. And it's, you know, there are days that it just doesn't work for me. But intentionality is important. Scheduling it into my day.
Yeah. And just overall balance in your life to make sure that there is time for both things. It does take some intentionality and work, but I think what we were saying, try it for a little bit. See what happens. See what, if you are less stressed, if you're sleeping better, if you know, you feel more fully present in your moments afterward. Try it for 30 days and see what you might feel.
And so we do have a variety of suggestions, and you certainly can go and look at anything. Headspace is, again, on Netflix. They're going to have different options. But we've mentioned that we do have 5 and 10 minute meditations with Erica Gibson on our YouTube channel and on our podcast. We have music by Mystic Mercy. I mean, use one song, which is 3-4 minutes long, yeah, and just sit with it. Use a song that you love and just sit with it and let it just flow.
Yeah. Or we have art by Jennifer Jones. So just spending a few minutes looking at the art and seeing what comes up for you, seeing, yeah, what unfolds. It brings imagination and creativity and just some joy. I think Jennifer's work brings joy. We have the book that Soul Feast that you can check out. We also have a family resource. Headspace also does little meditations with Sesame Street characters. So Max and I do the Elmo one where you say goodnight to your body parts and get you ready for bed, a body scan.
Yes.
But just teaching kids young about how to do meditation and spend some quiet time, which the kids desperately need.
They do, especially, I mean, here we are in any time period, but here we are in very challenging times with COVID and just the racial unrest that's unfolding in our country. Just finding a couple of moments to just settle the anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, so we invite you to look at the virtual collection and see what might resonate with you. And we are so glad that you're with us for this episode and can't wait to see you in a couple weeks.
At this table.